Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation. Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Welcome back. Welcome in. This is Country Roads Confidential at earsports.com, a Paramount podcast. I'm Mike Casazza here on Wednesday evening, concluding the 2023 football season at West Virginia University. The Mountaineers victorious over North Carolina in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, 30-20. Here to discuss everything with me, front to back, start to finish, Carolina blue to navy blue, is Chris Anderson. Chris, could we turn this off after the first play of the game, or was it worth going to the finish here?
I don't know. I honestly thought after that first play of the game that this offense was not going to be able to be stopped. That was not the case, and they certainly made it interesting. So I don't think at any point did I ever really feel like UNC had the horses to kind of make it happen. But West Virginia sure tried to give them as many opportunities as possible.
Tell me if you agree here, but these are two teams that are pretty good right-handed, and they had to play left-handed tonight. NC because of personnel. West Virginia because I'm not sure, but just could not run the ball until late when it started to crack a little bit. But both teams leaned on a plan B, and West Virginia's plan B was just a little bit better. Actually, 20 points better, I should say, but with some help from special teams.
No, I totally agree with that. I don't know what the issue was with West Virginia's run game, why they couldn't get it. Again, we went over on our podcast and all our previews that UNC's defensive line was not great, like kind of mediocre and just about everything, and actually pretty bad in run defense, the defense as a whole, not just the defensive front. But West Virginia struggled to get much of anything going on the ground, like you said, until late in the game. But other areas stepped up. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
Just for perspective here, allow Mr. 25 first downs to take the stage for a second. 17 first downs today. Chris, that matches the low number of the season. Penn State, Oklahoma. West Virginia loses 38-15 to Penn State, 59-20 to Oklahoma. I got 30 points on the board in this game. A shutout in the second half. Took advantage of the kind of decimated, maybe even literally decimated with the manpower they lost. UNC offense, defense, I think, had a hard time hanging in the second half for West Virginia. Did start to dent a little bit, but I guess we can get to this right now. Historically, West Virginia not especially good in bowl games. Different story here. Two wins for Neil Brown now. I'll get into the bowl history here, but the big picture now, this is 2 8-win seasons, which actually now becomes a 9th win. So an 8, a 9, and a 10-win season in the Big 12. One belongs to Neil Brown. And then just the bowl history here of these teams and why this is significant, I think, for the programs and maybe why this is such a bummer for UNC. But now West Virginia is 17-23 in bowls. They had lost 4 out of 5 and 8 of 11, so add a win there. UNC has really kind of had a backslide at the end of the season the past few years, despite good starts. They're now 15-23, 4 straight losses, 11 out of 14 in bowl games. Mack Brown was once 7-1 in bowls, 14-12. Whew, not great for him there. Punctuation marks for West Virginia, the win, Second largest winning margin in a bowl in program history. Only the 70-33 game had a larger spread. 20 points matched a few times. Again, not the way they wanted to. They probably want to be more emphatic with their offense, but get to 30 points, have a pretty good defensive showing where we can be pretty sure we're going to see some changes after this game that we can talk about. And again, just for players, for coaches that put a lot into this, that may be back, that may not be back. That's just the nature of college football now. Again, not how they wanted to do it, but what they wanted to do, they certainly got out of there with that today.
I am looking at some of these stats, like the first down stats you put out there and the rushing yards for West Virginia during their time in the Big 12 conference, not just under Neil Brown, but Big 12 total with 17, you said 17 first downs, right? Okay, so 17 first downs, 175 or fewer rushing yards, 6 and 23 in the last since wait, 6 and 17, 7, 11, 7, 18, 6 and 18 in the Big 12. Like not typically a time, a recipe for success for West Virginia football as a whole, much less, with Neil Brown and this rushing offense, for them to be able to kind of pull this off, and they were able to. So I don't know. It's a weird one. Like it was a pretty dominant win. Again, it never felt like UNC really had a chance. But it also felt like West Virginia couldn't really get things off the ground offensively.
This is very much a bowl game. Never mind the 2023 nature of it, where you have all the player turnover, opting out. I don't know. You have the portal. Injuries are obviously an evergreen thing. And then just the excitement of bowl games is one thing. But man, they can be really sloppy sometimes too. Because back, many, many years ago, you could practice. They had like a specific number of practices, 15. And then, which is funny because as they took away all the regulators and let teams have more and more access to players throughout the calendar, it really kind of shrunk. And you see teams practice like 8 or 9 times before a bowl game now. And that's split up too. There's not a whole lot of continuity because West Virginia, among many teams, had a break in between periods of their practice for the holiday. So you're not doing a whole lot of hitting. You're not doing a whole lot of special teams. You really have to work on timing and syncing up a lot of your blocking and your snapping and, anything that you do in conjunction with another level of the offense or defense. And that's got to be sharp. And Brown even said that, if you tried to do it like you used to do it before, there'd be a player revolt because players have so much power in so many ways now. And this certainly resembled a bowl game, almost like a season opener. Penalties, just issues with just being a step off here, a foot off here, turnovers, miscues. I think that leads to some of the statistical shortcomings for West Virginia, certainly for North Carolina too. Don't want to take away North Carolina's talent. They had some players there, no doubt about it. But this just did seem like symptomatic of a bowl game in any year, never mind 2023. And somehow West Virginia pushed through it a little bit more because they were just better. I mean, they made a lot of mistakes, but they didn't knock themselves over, even though they certainly tried a few times.
All right, so what can we take from this? Like what I mean, obviously with all the caveats of 2023 bowl game, what can we take of it about West Virginia maybe now, maybe Neil Brown's tenure? And what can we take about it for the future? Is there anything we can take from this game?
So I'm always going to be dubious and like prisoner of the moment things. And I can look at UNC the first half of the year and even the last half of the year. And they were just missing players today that would have been good and would have caused West Virginia more problems than the players that were in a replacement capacity for UNC. But West Virginia did the job today, and West Virginia was not full strength either. I think they had fuller strength than UNC. So I can't really say corner turned or boulder over the top there. I will say this though, they go into the offseason with like legitimate momentum, and I know everybody said that, but they haven't had that. Even when they won the Liberty Bowl that one year, that was just kind of like, oh, geez, is this our quarterback? 5-7 the first year, you weren't feeling that. Obviously after the 18-6 bowl game last year, you never had this before. And this is like not only different, Chris, it's dramatically different now too. And I'll get into like a bigger picture thing here, but I don't know why you can't talk about big ideas now. Had they lost, I think you could puncture that. And even if you could put some of the yeah, but UNC was missing this, this, and this, and this, fine, I get that. But man, in a couple of weeks, a couple of months, no one's going to remember that. And when you get to preseason magazine time, you have a 9-14 that's probably going to be ranked. We can get into that this conversation too. In this final poll, And it's going to merit conversation for, upper tier of the new Big 12, probably preseason top 25. Like, I think that's actually on the table right now. Is that too bold?
I do not. I think I said, as we were previewing this game, like there's like a multi-step plan here where West Virginia could really go into 2024 ranked in the top 25 and with a lot of momentum. And step one was not losing, too many shocking kind of starters, contributors, major contributors for next year. So far, so good. Portal's still open for a couple more days. January 2nd is when things close, but things look good there. We are expecting a couple other guys to leave. But again, I think these are expectations from the coaching staff as well. Nobody's shocking to them. Second part was winning this bowl game, getting to 9 wins. Again, like you said, all the caveats of 2023 bowl, all the caveats of UNC missing all these players. 10 months from now, 8 months from now, everybody's going to go, "Hey, you remember that 9-4 WVU team beat UNC in the bowl game when they were like ranked top 10 earlier in the year? It's a pretty good team coming back." And the third part is adding in the transfer portal, adding pieces that can really help. And so far, so good. I think, a lot of positive feedback on the guys that they added back, not officially. I mean, transfers aren't really signing. They signed their grant and aid, but that's only binding in so much as the school has to supply it to them. They don't actually have to go to the school if they choose to go somewhere else. So still up in the air there. But again, don't be concerned. That's everywhere. But step one, step two, step three, it's kind of all going pretty well right there on that front.
Let's speaking of front, let's get to that. Let's talk about the defense for a second. That's okay with you. We spent a lot of air this year talking about the offense and post-game rapid reaction podcasts and preview stuff. When we talk about the defense, sometimes it's in worrisome terms about what an opposing offense might do. If you look at who was out there today and what they did, Chris, there's a lot of staying power here. 7 sacks, 11 tackles for a loss. And a lot of the people that we're going to rattle off here have a chance to be a part of this next year too. I'm not going to rattle off the names, but like you can tell by because you saw the game. But like Anthony Wilson, he could be back. Jared Bartlett could be back. Ed Vesterinen, Aubrey Burks. There's a couple that have to figure out here. I'm not going to air dirty laundry, but there's a couple names we mentioned that they got to figure some things out with what they want to do and where they want to be. Tamiwa Durajayi, Kaden Beiser, Tyron Bradley, Batorma Mulba, Jacoby Spells. Like there's a core here from front to back that it's not complete, don't get me wrong, but I think if they want to be stronger, they're going to have to be obviously stout up front. They're going to have the horses to do that. They keep everything together, and I don't see a lot of potential for defections here. And additions, I mean, they might not have a whole lot left more to do there too. Linebacker, they're making some moves. They're really trying. They've already made some splashes there. I mean, as you mentioned before, they could continue that way. And they're going to have to plug some holes, obviously, in the secondary because of just, graduation and players who've departed and just weren't going to be a part of this in the future. But there's something there. And I think that's where you can kind of get a little bit more excited. This isn't just like a one-sided thing. I mean, obviously, all the star power is on offense, but there's a chance now because from front to back, defensive line should be pretty good. And if they're going to go to a 4-3 like they talked about, they have the parts to do that. That means they're going to have to be healthy, a linebacker, and like healthy with like the state of the roster, not just the actual state of the players, but they're working on that. Can they get the secondary? But here's the thing now. You can go into the portal, and it's not just you can point at Beanie Bishop, but you could point at, a Malachi Ruffin too, if you want to get a younger guy. Hey, we can develop you. You can be a starter in the Big 12. You can be an All-American in the Big 12 if you want to transfer here. They actually have the horses to do that because they've done that. They had the capacity to do that because they had the horses that they tried out this year. And also, by the way, hey, this could be a preseason top 25 team. This could be a Big 12 contender team. We got a spot for you if you want it. They haven't had that before either, and they can punctuate that now because they have a postseason win.
Defensive front was amazing. I started writing my notes about who I was going to talk about in stock up, stock down that I post as soon as the game is over. And Edward Vesterinen was right there. That was my guy that I was going to talk about. And then it was like, well, they're making it difficult to only focus on him because it was everybody, which is even more impressive because two of the three starters were not even part of it. Michael Lockhart obviously chose to transfer, entered the transfer portal, and wasn't at the bowl game. Sean Martin went out with an ankle injury, kind of tried to limp back out there, but missed the majority of the game, or at least the majority of the snaps because of that injury. So they did all that damage against what should have been a pretty good UNC offensive front with, Eddie V and a bunch of guys who had been kind of, the second team guys in the rotation, but still second team. And that's promising not only for tonight, but the future as well.
Seven sacks, Chris. One, two, three, four players had a sack. Three players had half a sack. One player had one and a half sack. This wasn't one guy whipping a tackle or a guard and getting three or four sacks. They had it from all bunch of people. Really quickly, don't look here unless you already have. Do you know who led the team in sacks tonight?
I was going to say Edward Vesterinen, but I believe now, see, I'm trying to figure out who got the halves and all that stuff, but I know Jalen Thornton's name was mentioned at least twice, and
He was
Vesterinen's
really
name was at
good.
least twice.
He was
So
really good.
was it Thornton?
Yeah, it was. And again,
Okay.
final third of the season, he was really good and kind of just did his part where he's second, third line, but he's coming in and he's pedal to the metal against a worn down, guard or tackle or center, depending on where they put him, because the first guy or the second guy or the first two guys in front of him did the same thing. And then when he came back in, the guy that took his spot was fresh and could go at the guy because Thornton's worn him down a little bit more, and he came in with a motor in the second half, especially when they really took off. Four tackles, one solo, one and a half tackles for a loss. That's the sack, two quarterback hits as well. He was good in that. And that's the way they're going to go. Will he be back? We'll see. There's some players who have to kind of figure out what they want to do, and maybe this is maybe this is the punctuation mark for them, but maybe they can actually leap off into something bigger now too.
Hello, everyone. It's Micah Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football, wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount Plus, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.
Going back to Brown. It was middle of November last year where everything kind of like looked sideways and where is this going to go and how is it going to end up? And I wrote this, we talked about this, and people did not want to hear it. But West Virginia was kind of big picture. One, they wanted to see it work for Neil Brown. They believed everything he was doing. They liked him as a coach and as a player. Give it a chance. Give it a chance. And you could go year zero jokes or COVID year or anything all you want. But the takeaway was they really wanted to give him a chance to do it. And so he came back this year. But it wasn't so much the 2023 season. You're not giving him 2024 based on 2023. You're giving him another year based on what he did in his first five. He's obviously coming back, and that was we know that before tonight. Tonight didn't seal anything. But the idea was that if he nails this season, the new Big 12 is going to be easier to win because you don't have the two neat teams that have been in the way for everybody for so long in Texas and Oklahoma. You're adding schools that are new and kind of watered down a little bit, Cincinnati, Houston, UCF are the ones we saw kind of struggle this year, BYU as well. And then you have the teams that are coming from the Pac-12. This wasn't part of the thinking now, but that's not going to necessarily make everything stronger. There's going to be a period of adjustment too, and maybe they're not all going to be up at the same time. When you're adding eight teams over 2 years, you're not adding eight top-shelf teams. Naturally, in college football, someone's going to be down. A couple of those teams are going to be down. And what did you hear tonight? That the conversations that the ESPN broadcast crew had when they weren't spitting out takes about mayonnaise, they were talking about how this is a team that now believes its position to win the Big 12 next year. Agree with it, don't agree with it, that's fine. That's a whole other conversation. To say that in a game you win 30-10 on national television, that means you did something right and your gamble paid off. And to me, that's like a big takeaway for the athletic department, the university, the football staff. is that they made this bold bet more than a year ago that it would pay off in 14, 16, 18 months. And they're pretty close to that right now, too. And we kind of thought about that. But when you're seeing it and you realize you're actually at that finish line, that moment where what they thought might be true, they can actually start to think about that right now. I think that's a powerful moment for them, and that can really help them pour in resources for hiring, replacing, upgrading anybody, anything, because they got to go over the goal line right now. They're right there. They just can't kick a field goal. They got to go over the goal line.
You mentioned it there that some things might be changing here in the offseason. Coaching, going out and getting new assistants. Mentioned Jalen Thornton earlier. There are still some variables here at play. Dante Wright, safeties coach, going to Troy. Guys like Jalen Thornton, who walked on senior day, but still has 1 year of eligibility left. When is he coming back? We'll see. And Neil Brown has said, there are a couple guys who are going to play in the bowl game and then enter the portal. So we're going to see who those names are and what those guys are, and then figure out what West Virginia has to do from there. So it's not over yet. Like, there's still a little bit of wiggle room here. There's still a few more days you got to brave before the transfer portal closes. And then West Virginia will have a few days to kind of backfill those positions that guys might be departing from.
But think about this too. 18-6 guaranteed rate bowl. They have to make changes, right? And what do they do? They go out and they get Daniels and Harrell, and it doesn't work. And that was an uncomfortable shift. It seemed like a great idea. In retrospect, it was not, because they're totally different now. They're going to do some things different on defense now, but I think their position is much different. Position of strength, I don't know, but it's stronger than what they were offensively a couple years ago. And, like guys like Bartlett, guys like Thornton, starter level and backup level, can they keep this whole group together, or can they find suitable replacements there? We'll see. And then, Dante Wright, no one's going to, no one's going to mistake the void he leaves. He's going to be a defensive coordinator with his friend growing up. I don't think they'll have a hard time finding an assistant coach to fill that spot. Not to say that's a bad reflection on Wright, but I think they can probably go fishing here in deeper waters than they could last year, while Bilal Marshall and Blaine Stewart have been serviceable and beyond this season. That did not excite the base last year. You're bringing a guy who was 1 year coaching Division I at the 1AA level, the FCS, and a guy who never coached in college before. They've done good. They're still learning. They should get better. I don't think that'll be the storyline this year. I think they'll actually get like a bona fide assistant coach, and not like a friend of a friend or somebody who's new to the level. Should be able to spend and should be able to get somebody in that's going to do what they need, never mind want to do, in the back end of the defense.
I might, let me ask you, plain and simple, will West Virginia University, this is part one, will West Virginia University be ranked in the final top 25 rankings that come out after all of the bowl games in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's a coach's poll, right? So they're going to get one vote for sure, because they don't do the AP poll. Am I correct on that?
I think that was the case, and now I'm looking at it, it looks like maybe they switched it up last year. I don't know. But let's say coach's poll, and right now it's 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. So West Virginia had 8 votes, which would be 31st, essentially. If you count the others receiving votes section. So ranked, yes?
I think so. You know why? Because I guarantee you a bunch of media watched that goofy Duke's Mayo thing today just for the giggles they have with it, right? And I bet you that they were impressed by what they saw. And they heard the advertisement for the offense and how many star players are coming back and all the freshmen and this and that. That should be good. And and this is a disservice to the player, but you never heard about who they're going to miss. You never heard Zach Frazier's name once. Not once. And who's been more important to what they've been doing the last couple of years than him? Arguably nobody else. But you don't realize that's a hole, a big hole that's going to be there. Even with their issues running the ball up the middle or even snapping at times to center today, you never heard Zach Frazier's name. Unless when I finally muted the television, it came up, and I don't think it did. But I just think that there's so much momentum that people are going to pay attention to that. And everybody who was paying attention to him on the hot seat last year, They didn't unplug. They're still tuned in. They realize that he won 9 games, and you circle back on that stuff and go, wow, that guy did a really good job. It's going to be easy to make them a top 25 team. Will that be enough people to do it? I don't know, but I think a lot of people put the pen to paper for West Virginia.
All right, so part one was ranked or not ranked after the bowls. And now part two, ranked or ranked heading into next year, preseason. Well,
yeah, if it's one, it's the other. Yes postseason, it's yes preseason. Now, if it's no postseason, it could be yes preseason as well. I voted in these things. It's very, very non-scientific. It's very objective. Everybody has, or subjective. It's a different process. But like, if they get the postseason, they'll get the preseason. If they don't get the postseason, they can still get the preseason. But like, it's, again, these are conversations you never had before. So, I mean, good on them. On the game real quick.
Mm-hmm.
First play.
Yep.
Were you shocked?
Not that they took a shot, but I mentioned it at the time. I loved the wrinkle in that it was a deep, deep cross, because it almost looked like it looked like UNC was ready for it. I mean, as basically every team should, especially in a bowl game on that first play. Guys just saying screw it and going for it. But solid read from Green. Great blocking from the offensive line that gave him the time to kind of wait for that deep cross to happen. And then, you know, they kind of just jumbled up all of UNC's defensive backs, kind of ran them into each other, jumbled them up, and Ray's running free. I thought it was a well-designed play, a well-executed play, and really, you know, hit UNC, and they weren't ready for it. Or they were ready for it, but kind of got caught up.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up all that stuff. I think it's really good to for perspective here. But, like, the one thing that it was so easy is the one thing I noticed. And like, it's not something that, I mean, they've run that play before too, but like, it was just one of those things like, yeah, let's go for it. And I kind of thought maybe hey, could they do this? Could they do that? Would they try to establish the run? I don't know. We'll see. But like, what struck me as I'm thinking about it though, was that they were missing some corners and safeties, like regular guys, starters. And this is a team that plays like, you know, 35-40% in man. And Gene Chizik's known for being that type of a guy. I thought they might go zone to start just because, like, let's see what they have and let's keep eyes on the ball and try to run toward it if it's going to be a run play. And that was man right away, right? And Ray,
I believe so.
Ray just went across the field, got through traffic, and it was a perfect throw and perfect catch, and that's a great start. As you were saying, things that they were expecting, I do think the UNC was really well prepared for stuff. They handled the run game. I think missing Frazier is probably an overlooked but obvious aspect here. I think people forget, like, they don't double team the middle with him. Like, They don't give him help. He handles stuff. And sometimes he handles two guys by himself. And you can use your other guard to go out and help a tackle to get to the second level. And that just wasn't there today. They had to help Brandon Yates. And that's to be understood. Brandon Yates could be a fine player, but he's not Zach Frazier. I'm sorry. I think probably everybody that hearing this would agree with that too. UNC was ready for a lot of the stuff. And that included, I thought, their first play of the second half, they put Gallagher in motion. And how many times have we seen them run that touch pass or the jet sweep or something like that? Everybody is flowing bottom of screen to top to screen, right to left if you're on defense. And everybody's going that way, and the middle opens up. That was almost like a trick play to me. Like, they were waiting for that and waiting for that. And I don't know if it was an automatic you're going to have Green run it, or if it was a true read for him. It looked like a read, but they certainly smartened Green up if it was a read and saying, hey, they're going to chase him all the way outside. They've been waiting on this play. Haven't seen it. And then bang, I think 48 yards in that play. They had 72 yards rushing. No, 62 yards rushing before that. They get almost all that on one play, and that really kind of broke the game open there. White's in the end zone a couple plays later, and then, you know, Country Roads is just around the corner there too. So felt like they had a good plan, excited to start, obviously, and then save some things at good times, but just had a hard time moving it because of I don't know what. And again, it'd be interesting to hear Brown what he has to say after the game about what they're missing, who they're missing, but also like what wasn't working and what could have worked better, because, you know, to get bailed out by your defense and your special teams, Chris, that's not the story of the season, is it?
No, absolutely not. I think that and, you know, again, we talked about throughout the year that, hey, they haven't stepped on the rake, as you like to put it. They hadn't done that much. But when they did, those were the games they ended up losing. And then at the beginning of this game, it had that feeling, a swing of about 100 yards. I had done the math. I think it was 96 or something like that, mm-hmm. where the penalty yards they had taken, plus the yards that were negated, you know, that they had gained on those plays that were brought back, and they were just kind of kicking themselves and making silly mistakes. And, you know, but again, they were good enough to kind of overcome that. And that's what good teams do.
Yeah. 9 penalties, 70 yards, some penalties agreeable, some not. A great day for the line judge who apparently can't see. West Virginia wins a turnover battle. 3-1. However, just 3 points off the 3 turnovers gained. That's probably not what they want to do there. But the defense, again, 7 sacks, 11 tackles for a loss. That's good enough to get over some stuff. And again, 4 touchdowns, 4 possessions, 2 touchdowns, 2 field goals in the red zone. Got that right? I think so. Yeah, just kind of did enough, whereas efficient in the right areas. Like 100%, that's great in the red zone. 50% touchdown, not great, but good enough. And then, again, to be down almost 10 minutes of time possession and still win the game pretty comfortably, that's not a bad day here. Final question before we go here, Chris, for you, if you don't mind. What or who do you underline as a person or a thing that because of this game you feel better about? And conversely, because of this game, you are concerned about not a new thing necessarily. Maybe it's a new player. Maybe it's a development that you think they're going to lean on that didn't, you know, acquit itself perfectly today. But anything jump out that has your attention positively and negatively?
And that is a great question, because there was one that I put in my stock up, stock down that I was holding steady on, that I was ready to kind of watch closely and get some answers on. I'll get to that in a second. But I'll say the thing I feel better about is the defensive line. And I already felt pretty good about it. But seeing some of those guys, like, again, it's one thing. You still don't know if Jalen Thornton's going to come back. Okay. So you don't know about that. Eddie V, you kind of already seen him have these moments, these flashes, but he kind of took it up a notch and said, I'm the guy. I am the best player on this defensive line today. And he played like it. Tommy, or as the Mayo announcers called him, Tommy, had a nice couple of plays in there. Asani Redwood, a guy that we heard a lot about. He was one of those guys that, as you like to say, the coaches brought up, the coaches talked about, and we just hadn't really seen him do much on the field. And he was out there. I mean, that sack that he had, I blinked and he had his arms around the quarterback. Like, he won that one-on-one battle with that offensive lineman so fast. Couldn't even finish my blink before he was sacking the quarterback. So feeling better about the defensive line, which was a spot I already felt pretty good about.
Can I buy stock in Tyron Bradley?
Yeah. That was definitely his best game, right?
Oh yeah, and the one-hand interception is great, but he was all over the field playing big. And like, they're going to need him next year, because if they're going to do something different in this 4-3, that guy's going to be a big part of what they do, because he's going to be a bigger guy on the line. I don't know what else they'll do with that position. Like, they've obviously recruited toward that spot, or what we think will be that spot. Can they do it? I don't know, but like, they're going to have somebody from that, whether it's called Bandit or something else, do that. And I think people don't, I think you saw it today, obviously, but people don't realize how athletic and how big he is too. Like, that's a high school option quarterback in a pretty good part of Texas. Playing linebacker now, first year at the FBS level, and got better and better. And just Bartlett was in front of him. And Bartlett was, I don't know what adjective you would use for him, but like, reliable. Like, he was always pretty steady out there. And again, will he be back? We'll see. There's some things that, again, a number of players had to figure out there too. Offensively, I kind of wish that DJ Oliver had gotten more run. That game was still in the could they win, could they lose phase. And when you make that type of play, when you're running, you're not even looking, and you get hit from that side and you fumble, that's bad. I love that he still ran his tail off on special teams and made a tackle on a kickoff after White's touchdown in the fourth quarter too. So that shows me something about him. I think, you know, we always hear Brown put a ton of emphasis on special teams, but that's one of those plays that's going to speak to coaches in whatever doghouse that Oliver might have been in. I mean, Jalen Anderson got in the field and played today before Oliver got back in. I think that gets him out of there too, but I do wonder about the running game. It's just going to look different with Frazier gone, with Nestor gone. Everybody else should be back, but C.J. Donaldson coming back from an injury, probably won't see him in the spring, I would guess. I'm not a doctor, I'm projecting there, but you know, do you get him and White back? How do you fit in Oliver? Is Anderson back? Don't know. And you also have the two recruits, Dunbar and Hubbard, that they brought in that I'm not sure either one of them plays, but maybe they're good enough to play. So I'm just curious what the running game will do. I'm not selling the stock in their running game because of what happened today. I think there's some natural curiosity what's going to happen just because of the changes you're bound to have in the offseason in West Virginia. We'll have a couple and could have a few more. Who knows there too. Final thoughts here, Chris, before we wrap it up for the final time this season.
Solid season, impressive season, great job. A lot of what I took away as positives from this year, of course, like winning, it's good. But the big thing is they made changes. Like, the things that were the problem the year before, they fixed them. The things that, you know, that drove a lot of the things that drove fans crazy, and the things that we would discuss on these podcasts, like the stepping on the rake, the misuse of timeouts, the blunders of time, clock management leading into halftime and in the second half, it all kind of went away, and then they started winning. It's kind of crazy how that works. But that's again, people, a lot of people listen to this, they get upset, but that's good coaching. when you recognize the mistakes and you fix them, that's good coaching. And I think a lot of the reason that West Virginia made that jump from kind of this middling 500 or slightly worse team to a 9-4 team with some top 25 potential is because they saw the problems, they adjusted, fixed it, and they're moving forward.
That's a great point. I will just echo you here. I don't want to add anything else, but like, what do they do now? Because they've made the wrong changes. Prior to that, they haven't changed. They made the changes. They're certainly rewarded for it. This is not a finished product. That boulder is not over the top of the mountain and rolling downhill right now, but it's not far. And if you got everybody pushing the same direction right now, man, if you get one or two more shoves from strong additions, that can really help you out. So what do they change? What weaknesses, vulnerabilities, soft spots do they identify? And can they go out and fix? And again, that's roster, that's staffing, that's budget, that's spending. I mean, all that stuff there too. What do they go out and do? That's a question they will ask, and they probably earned the answer on. It is not Sunday. We are still going to wrap up the season as we do every week we have a game here. Man, snap counts is going to be weird, Chris. They travel with everybody. So the dress roster is like two pages and like the full, I bet you it's the full team that you're allowed to bring. And then like Zach Frazier in the dress roster, he can play. Guys like that, we'll see what they actually did there. But certainly some interesting playing time decisions there too for who got in, who played how much in that young group. And, you know, the redshirt candidates and the freshmen, people like that. And how will you be chasing this one? Is it with a shot of mayo?
No, absolutely not. But I will be doing the report card, doing some usual follow-ups with some recruiting stuff. And again, for those who are thinking, hey, it's that dead time between Christmas and New Year's.
No.
Transfer portal wide open until January 2nd. So the next handful of days from now, we're recording this at 9:30 on December 27th until January 2nd. Transfer portal is open. Guys will be leaving. Confirmed 100%. There will be at least one West Virginia player no longer on the roster. I'm not talking about anybody specific, but we know it's happening, so be prepared for some news. Following that, immediately, January 3rd through January 7th, that is the window where West Virginia and all schools can host transfers, and transfers only, not high schoolers, transfers for official visits. West Virginia already has one set with a defensive lineman that our VIP members know about. There's going to be more. Not that many more, and I explained why in a recent VIP buzz, but visitors that week. So the next 10 days, 12 days, really important for West Virginia's roster for 2024. Really important.
And by the way, just a brutal stretch for basketball, too. Just brutal. They haven't played anybody as good as Ohio State in the KenPom or the Net Chris. They play Ohio State, and then four of their next five games after that are against teams that are above Ohio State in the KenPom. It's a root canal coming up here too. So it's a head above water kind of thing. We'll see. Well, Chris, I enjoyed this. I don't know about you, but 13 of these. Actually, I did 13. You did 12.
Yep. Took one off.
Yeah. I think you'll probably get one back for me in the future. We'll see. A pleasure as always. Until next time. I'm Mike Casazza.
And I'm Chris Anderson.
We'll talk to you then.